Good, thank you.
Hope I didn't break. What? I got it. ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयंरूपकथामयम् तथापि स्वापदांसिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलम् श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणारघुनाथमिदं हंसजीवम् सादेकं सावधूतं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादा सहगणा ललिता शीर्षाकरन्विधांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते ठक्करञ्चन गौराङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरे प्रिये वांशाकौपतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhagavad Gita Chapter 8 Attaining the Supreme
Arjuna Vacha Kim Tat Brahma Kim Adhyatmam Kim Karma Purushottama Adibhutam Chakim Proktam Adidaivam Kim Uchite Adiyakya Katam Kotra Dehe Smin Madhusudana Prayana Kali Chakatam Gyeyosi Niyatatmami Shri Bhagavad Uvacha Aksharam Brahma Paramam Svabhavo Jatmam Uchyate Bhuta Bhavo Bhavataro Visarga Dharma Sanditaha Hari Bhutam Sharo Bhava Purushaschari Daivatam Adi Yajna Mahevara Dehe Deha Dhambara Antakale Chamameva Smaram Bhukva Kalevaram Yatrayati Samadbhavam Yati Nasyatra Samshaya Yam Yam Vami Smaram Bhavam Tachatyante Kalevaram
tantami vaiti kauteya sadata bhava bhavitah tasma sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yujyata mayarpita mano buddhir mami vaishyasya samshayah abhyasa yoga yuktena cetasa nanyagamina paramam purusham divyam yati parthara chintayam kavir purana manushashitara anodaniyam samanusmaredyah sarvasya dhatanam chincharupam aditya varnam tamasa parasta prayanakale manasa chalena bhaktya yukto yoga malena chayva rubor mahe pranam adeshya sabhya satam param purusham vaiti divyam yadaksharam raita vilogatanti Vishanti yadvattayo nitarāga Yadichanto brahmacharyam charanti Tathe padam sankrahena prabhakshe Sarvadvārāni samyamya Manohridina rujyata Murtyanyāyatmana prānam Asthito yogadhāraṇa Om Nityasharam Brahma Vyaharam Bhavanusmaram Yaprayati Tajanteham Sayati Paramam Gatim Ananya Cheta Satatam Yomam Smarati Nityasaha Tasyaham Sulabha Partha Nitya Yuktasya Yoginaha Mamukhecha punarjanma dhupayam ashashvatam Nathumanti mahatmana sansidhim paramangataha Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravarti norjuna Mamukhecha chukamteya punarjanma navidyate Sahasrayunaparyantam Arhayatramano viduhu Ratriyuga sahasrantam Teho ratra vidojana Avyatta avyattaya sarva Prabhavatya aragame Ratyarame prayuyante Tatraiva avyakti samjike Bhūtarāma sa'evāyam Bhūtvā-bhūtvā praliyate Rātyāname vachāpārtha Prabhavadhyā-harāgame Parastasmātubhāvonyo Vyakto-vyakta-sanātanah Yastasarveshu-bhūteshu Nasyat-surna-vinashyati Avyato-sharehi-yuktas Tamahu-paramangatim Yam-prapyana-nivartante Tathama-paramamama Purusha-sa-parapartha Bhaktyana-dhyaswananyaya Yasyantastani bhutani Yena sarvam idam tatha Yatra kaletana avrittim Avrittim chaiva yoginaha Prayataya mitam kalam Vakshyami varadarshava Agnir jyotiraha shukla Shanmasa utarayanam Tatra prayata gashanti Rama Rama vidojanaha Dubo Ratristata Krishna Shanmasa Dakshinayanam Tatra Chandramasam Jyotir Yogi Pratya Nivartate Shukla Krishna Kakiyate Jagata Shastrake Mate Ekayayatina Vrittim Anyaya Vartate Punaha Naite Sriti Partha Jana Yogi Munyati Kashana Tasasarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Yukta Bhajana Vedeshu Yakyeshu Tapasu Chaiva Daneshu Yakunya Padam Pratishta Adyeti Tatsarva Vidam Vidhva Yogi Param Saram Haiti Chayam Om Hatsariti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Supanishatsu Ramavidyayam Yoga Shastre Shri Krishna Arjuna Sambhare Samodhyayaha Hari Om.
And now we'll read the translations in unison. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahma? What is the Self? What are our fruitive activities? What is this material manifestation? And what are the demigods? Please explain this to me. Who is the Lord of sacrifice? And how does he live in the body, O Madhusudana? And how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the indestructible, transcendental living entity is called Brahman, and its eternal nature is called Adhyatma, the Self. Action pertaining to the development of the material bodies of the living entities is called karma, or fruit of activities. O best of the embodied beings, the physical nature, which is constantly changing, is called Adibhuta, the material manifestation. The universal form of the Lord, which includes all the demigods, like those of the sun and moon, is called Adidaiva. And I, the Supreme Lord, represented as the Supersoul in the heart of every embodied being, am called Adiyatya, the Lord of Sacrifice. And whoever, at the time of life, quits his body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out the prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. He who meditates on me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mind constantly engaged in remembering me, undeviated from the path, he, O Artha, is sure to reach me. One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything, as he who is the oldest, the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception, who is inconceivable, and who is always a person. He is luminous like the sun, and is transcendental beyond this material nature. One who, at the time of death, we have some sheets, right? I have one. Okay. You can just listen, and if you know, go ahead. One who, at the time of death, fixes light hair between the eyebrows, and by the strength of yoga, with an undeviating mind, engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord in full devotion, will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Persons who are learned in the Vedas, who utter Omkar, and who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now briefly explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses, and fixing the mind on the heart and the light there at the top of the head. One establishes himself in yoga. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will certainly reach the spiritual planets. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O Son of Pratha, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery where repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O Son of Kunti, never takes birth again. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day, and such also is the duration of his night. At the beginning of Brahma's day, all the identities become manifest from the unmanifest state, and thereafter, when the night falls, they emerge into the unmanifest again. Again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being, and with the arrival of Brahma's night, they are helplessly annihilated. Yet there is another unmanifest nature, which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. That which the Vedantists describe as unmanifest and infallible, that which is known as the supreme destination, that place from which, having attained it, one never returns, that is my supreme abode. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, is attainable by unalloyed devotion. Although he is present in his abode, he is all-pervading, and everything is situated within him. The best of the parts. I shall now explain to you the different times in which, passing away from this world, the yogi does or does not come back. Those who know the Supreme Brahman attain that Supreme by passing away from the world during the influence of the fiery God, in the light at an auspicious moment of the day, during the fortnight of the waxing moon, or during the 6 months when the sun travels in the north. The mystic who passes away from this world during the smoke, the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but again comes back. According to Vedic opinion, there are two ways of passing from this world, one in light and one in darkness. When one passes in light, he does not come back, but when one passes in darkness, he returns. Although the devotees know these two paths, Lord Jana, they are never bewildered, therefore always fixed in devotion. A person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing austere sacrifices, giving charity, or pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all these, and at the end he reaches the supreme eternal abode. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hey, you did it. We're back online. Close. How is everyone?
Good.
It's good to be here, right? To have a regular schedule of hearing and chanting every day is a great luxury. There are many other duties, it seems, and to organize a time, place, where one can have regulated hearing and chanting will actually change one from the inside out. The heart changes by hearing the sound vibration. There are many verses about that in the Shastra, about just by hearing how one becomes purified. And now I'm going to read to you something from the Krishna book, because I have it in front of me. We had this experience when we were in Govardhan last year. We read the whole Krishna book, all 90 chapters, 24 days. And the devotees couldn't wait to come back in and hear. And we were all experiencing how the senses need to hear about variety and opulence and sweetness and relationships. We can't do without it. It's our nature. And by hearing Krishna books, which is the perfect book, it's the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it's written in a summary form by Srila Prabhupada, who wanted to make sure that we had the 10th canto, even if he left it early, before completing the whole 10 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's combined with his own commentary within the summary, so that we have no misunderstanding about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'm going to read to you from the Krishna book. You can just relax and let the sound vibration go into your ears, into your heart, and purify your existence. This is from chapter 16, Subduing Kaliya. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 hey. Krishna, 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 Rakshava. Krishna, 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 Parima. Rama, 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 Rakshava. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava. When he understood Ramananda, can you turn this so it's different? When he understood that the water of the Jamuna was being polluted by the black serpent Kaliya, Lord Krishna took action against him and made him leave the Jamuna and go elsewhere, and thus the water became purified. Thank you, that's good. When this story was being narrated by Shukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Parikshit became eager to hear more about Krishna's childhood pastimes. He inquired from Shukadeva Goswami how Krishna chastised Kaliya, who had been living in the water for many years. Actually, Maharaj Parikshit was becoming more and more enthusiastic to hear the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, and his inquiry was made with great interest. Shukadeva Goswami narrated the story as follows. Within the river Jamuna, there was a great lake, and in that lake, the black serpent Kaliya used to live. Because of his poison, the whole area was so contaminated that it emanated a poisonous vapor 24 hours a day. If a bird happened to even pass over the spot, it would immediately die and fall down into the water. Due to the poisonous effect of the Jamuna's vapors, the trees and grass near the bank of the Jamuna had all dried up. Lord Krishna saw the effect of the great serpent's poison. The whole river that ran before Vrindavan was now deadly. Krishna, who had vented himself just to kill all undesirable elements in the world, immediately climbed up into a big kadamba tree on the bank of the Jamuna. The kadamba is a tree bearing round yellow flowers that is generally seen only in the Vrindavan area. After climbing to the top of the tree, he tightened his belt cloth and slapping his arms, just like a wrestler, jumped into the midst of the poisonous lake. The kadamba tree from which Krishna jumped was the only tree there which was not dead. Some commentators say that due to being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna, the tree immediately became alive. In some other Puranas, it is stated that Garuda, the eternal carrier of Vishnu, knew that Krishna would take this action in the future, and so he put some nectar on this tree just to preserve it. When Lord Krishna jumped into the water, the river overflooded its banks to a distance of 100 yards, as if something very large had fallen into it. This exhibition of Krishna's strength is not at all uncommon, because he is the reservoir of all strength. When Krishna was swimming about, just like a great strong elephant, he made a tumultuous sound, which the great black serpent Kaliya could hear. The tumult was intolerable for him, and he could understand that this was an attempt to attack his home. Therefore, he immediately came before Krishna. Kaliya saw that Krishna was indeed worth seeing because his body was so beautiful and delicate. Its color resembled that of a cloud, and his feet resembled lotus flowers. He was decorated with srivatsa, jewels and yellow garments. He was smiling with a beautiful face and playing in the river Jamuna with great strength. But in spite of Krishna's beautiful features, Kaliya felt great anger within his heart, and thus he grabbed Krishna with his mighty coils. Seeing the incredible way in which Krishna was enveloped in the coils of the serpent, the affectionate cowherd boys and other inhabitants of Vrindavana immediately became stunned out of fear. They had dedicated everything to Krishna, their lives, property, affection, activities, everything was for Krishna. And when they saw him in that condition, they became overwhelmed with fear and fell down on the ground. All the cows, bulls, and small calves became overwhelmed with grief, and they began to look at him with great anxiety. Out of fear, they could only cry in agony and stand erect on the bank, unable to help their beloved Krishna. While this scene was taking place on the bank of the Jamuna, there were ill omens manifest. The earth trembled, meteors fell from the sky, and the left side of men's bodies shivered. All these are indications of great immediate danger. Observing the inauspicious signs, the cowherd men, including Maharaj Nanda, became very anxious out of fear. At the same time, they were informed that Krishna had gone to the pasturing ground without his elder brother, Balaram. As soon as Nanda and Yashoda and the cowherd men heard this news, they became even more anxious. Out of their great affection for Krishna and being unaware of the extent of his potencies, they became overwhelmed with grief and anxiety because they had nothing dearer than Krishna and because they had dedicated their everything, life, property, affection, mind, and activities to Krishna. Because of their great attachment for Krishna, they thought, today Krishna is surely going to be vanquished. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan came out of the village to see Krishna. The assembly consisted of children, old men, women, animals, and all living entities. They knew that Krishna was their only means of sustenance. While this was happening, Balaram, who is the master of all knowledge, stood there simply smiling. He knew how powerful his younger brother was, and that there was no cause for anxiety when Krishna was fighting with an ordinary serpent of the material world. He did not, therefore, personally take any part in their sorrow. On the other hand, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, being disturbed, began to search out Krishna by following the impression of his footprints on the ground, and thus they moved hastily toward the bank of the Jamuna. Finally, by following the footprints marked with flag, bow, and conch shell, the inhabitants of Vrindavan arrived at the riverbank and saw that all the cows and boys were weeping to behold Krishna enwrapped in the coils of the black serpent. Then they became still more overwhelmed with grief. While Balaram was smiling to see their lamentation, all the inhabitants of Brajabhumi merged into the ocean of grief because they thought that Krishna was finished. Although the residents of Vrindavan did not know much about Krishna, their love for him was beyond comparison. As soon as they saw that Krishna was in the river Jamuna enveloped by the serpent Kaliya, and that all the boys and cows were lamenting, they simply began to think of Krishna's friendship, his smiling face, his sweet words, and his dealings with them. Thinking of all these and seeing that their Krishna was now within the clutches of Kaliya, they at once felt that the three worlds had become vacant. Lord Chaitanya also said that he was seeing the three worlds as vacant for want of Krishna. Verse? Yugayatam nimishena chakshusa prakrishayatam shunyayatam jagasarvam govinda virahename shunyayatam jagat. There's nothing, everything's zero in the material world. This is the feeling of the devotee, so fixed on Krishna that without Krishna, everything's vacant. There's nothing of interest at all to the person who's fully in love with Krishna. Mention that even when the cowherd boys are playing with Krishna in the forest, when he walks behind a tree, just for a fraction of a second, they feel great separation and anxiety from him. And the gopis often curse the creator, Brahma, saying that he's some kind of a fool because he created the body with eyelids so that they blink and they miss that fraction of a second of seeing Krishna every once in a while because of the blinking. They can't stand to be without Krishna. So this is what Jiva Goswami says is a test of one's advancement in Krishna consciousness. that if one is to the degree that one must hear about Krishna and is attached to hearing about Krishna constantly, to that degree one's advanced in devotional service. And to the degree that one has a taste for hearing all kinds of other topics that aren't related to Krishna, to that degree one does not advance in devotional service. A simple formula. And in the symptoms of bhava, which are mentioned by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, avyarta kalatvam means that the devotee doesn't want to waste even 1 second outside of the service of Krishna. But all these things come natural to the devotees in Vrindavan because they're instilled with spontaneous love for Krishna. Prabhupada continues, this is the highest stage of Krishna consciousness. Almost all the inhabitants of Vrindavan have the highest ecstatic love for Krishna. When Mother Yashoda arrived, she wanted to enter the river Jamuna, and being checked, she fainted. Her friends, who were equally aggrieved, were shedding tears like torrents of rain or waves of the river. But in order to bring Mother Yashoda to consciousness, they began to speak loudly about the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. Mother Yashoda remained still as if dead because her consciousness was concentrated on the face of Krishna. Nanda and all the other coward men who had dedicated everything, including their lives, to Krishna, were ready to enter the waters of the Jamuna, but Lord Balaram checked them because he was in perfect knowledge that there was no danger. For 2 hours, Krishna remained like an ordinary child gripped in the coils of Kaliya. But when he saw that all the inhabitants of Gokula, including his mother and father, the gopis, the boys, and the cows, were just on the point of death, and that they had no shelter for salvation from imminent death, Krishna immediately freed himself. He began to expand his body, and when the serpent tried to hold him, he felt a great strain. On account of the strain, his coils slackened, and he had no alternative but to let loose the personality of Godhead Krishna from his grasp. Kaliya then became very angry, and his great hoods expanded. He exhaled poisonous fumes from his nostrils, his eyes blazed like fire, and flames issued from his mouth. The great serpent remained still for some time, looking at Krishna, licking his lips with bifurcated tongues. The serpent looked at Krishna with double hoods, and his eyesight was full of poison. Krishna immediately pounced upon him, just as Garuda swoops upon a snake. Thus attacked, Kaliya looked for an opportunity to bite him, but Krishna moved around him. As Krishna and Kaliya moved in a circle, the serpent gradually became fatigued, and his strength seemed to diminish considerably. Krishna immediately pressed down the serpent's hoods and jumped up on them. The Lord's lotus feet became tinged with red from the rays of the jewels on the snake's hoods. Then he who is the original artist of all fine arts, such as dancing, began to dance upon the hoods of the serpent, although they were moving to and fro. Upon seeing this, the denizens of the upper planets showered flowers, beat drums, played different types of flutes, and sang various prayers and songs. In this way, all the denizens of heaven, such as the Gandharvas, Siddhas, and demigods, became very much pleased. While Krishna was dancing on his hoods, Kaliya tried to push him down with some of his other hoods. Kaliya had about 100 hoods. How many?
100.
But Krishna took control of them. He began to dash Kaliya with his lotus feet, and this was more than the serpent could bear. Gradually, Kaliya was reduced to struggling for his very life. He vomited all kinds of refuse and exhaled fire. While throwing up poisonous material from within, Kaliya became reduced in a sinful situation. Out of great anger, he began to struggle for existence and tried to raise one of his hoods to kill the Lord. The Lord immediately captured that hood and subdued it by kicking it and dancing on it. It actually appeared as if the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu was being worshipped. The poisons emanating from the mouth of the serpent appeared to be like flower offerings. Kaliya then began to vomit blood instead of poison. He was completely fatigued. His whole body appeared to be broken by the kicks of the Lord. Within his mind, however, he finally began to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he surrendered unto him. He realized that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the Master of everything. The wives of the serpent, known as the Nagapatnis, saw that their husband had been subdued by the Lord's kicking, and that he was almost at the point of death due to bearing the heavy burden of the Lord, within whose abdomen the whole universe remains. Kaliya's wives prepared to worship the Lord, and in their haste, their clothes, hair, and ornaments became disarrayed. They also surrendered unto the Supreme Lord and began to pray. They appeared before him, put forward their offspring, and anxiously offered respectful obeisances, falling down on the bank of the Jamuna. The Nagapatnis knew that Krishna is the shelter of all surrendered souls, and they desired to release their husband from the impending danger by pleasing the Lord with their prayers. You want to hear the Nagapatnis' prayers?
Yes. How do you want to say?
The Nagapatnis began to offer their prayers as follows. O dear Lord, you are equal to everyone. For you, there is no distinction between your sons, friends, or enemies. Therefore, the punishment which you have so kindly offered to Kaliya is exactly befitting. O Lord, you have descended especially for the purpose of annihilating all kinds of disturbing elements within the world. And because you are the absolute truth, there is no difference between your mercy and your punishment. We think, therefore, that this apparent punishment of Kaliya is actually some benediction. We consider that your punishment is your great mercy upon us, because when you punish someone, it is to be understood that the reactions of his sinful activities are eradicated. It is already clear that this creature appearing in the body of a serpent must have been overburdened with all kinds of sin. Otherwise, how could he have the body of a serpent? Your dancing on his hoods has reduced all the sinful results of actions caused by his having this body of a serpent. It is therefore very auspicious that you have become angry and have punished him in this way. We are very much astonished to see how you have become so much pleased with this serpent, who evidently performed various religious activities in his past lives that pleased everyone. He must have undergone all kinds of penances and austerities, humbly honored others, and executed universal welfare activities for all living creatures. The Nagapatnis confirm that one cannot come in contact with Krishna without having executed pious activities in devotional service in his previous lives. As Lord Chaitanya advised in his Shikshastrika, one has to execute devotional service by humbly chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street, and not expecting honor for himself, but offering all kinds of honor to others. Verse. The Nagapatnis were astonished that although Kaliya had the body of a serpent as a result of grievous, sinful activities, at the same time he was in contact with the Lord to the extent that the Lord's lotus feet were touching his hoods. Certainly, this was not the ordinary result of pious activities. These two contradictory facts astonished them. Thus, they continued to pray. Oh, dear Lord, we are simply astonished to see that he is so fortunate as to have the dust of your lotus feet on his head. This is a fortune sought after by great saintly persons. Even the goddess of fortune underwent severe austerities just to have the blessing of the dust of your lotus feet. So how is it that Kaliya is so easily getting this dust on his head? We have heard from authoritative sources that those who are blessed with the dust of your lotus feet do not care even for the highest post within the universe, namely the post of Lord Brahma, or the kingship of the heavenly planets, or the sovereignty of this planet. Nor do such persons desire to rule the planets above this earth, such as Sitaloka, nor do they aspire for the mystic powers achieved by the yoga process. Nor do the pure devotees aspire for liberation by becoming one with you. My Lord, although he is born in a species of life which is fostered by the most abominable mode of material nature, accompanied with the quality of anger, this king of the serpents has achieved something very, very rare. Living entities who are wandering within this universe in different species of life can very easily achieve the greatest benediction only by your mercy. It is confirmed in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the living entities are wandering within the universe in various species of life, but by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, they can get the seed of devotional service, and thus their path of liberation can be cleared. Verse. Wandering throughout the material world, Brahmanda Brahmate, and sometimes Prabhupada says loitering. Living entities are loitering in the material world. In America we have the 7-Eleven, and outside in the parking lot they have signs that says no loitering. Why would anybody want to stand around in a 7-Eleven parking lot? And for that matter, why would anyone want to hang around in the material world? This loitering, wandering with no real aim. And then Krishna sends a vaidya, or a devotee doctor. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Sanatana Goswami that the devotee is like a physician. And he has two things. One is hymns. He gives hymns and he gives instructions. Hymns and instructions. Just think how nice it is when you're suffering from a disease and then you meet a qualified doctor who can say, yes, I know what the problem is. I had an ailment once that nobody could diagnose. And they kept telling me all kinds of different things. It went on for a long, long time. And then I met this old doctor who's just about to retire at Kaiser Hospital. And I went and talked to him and he said, oh, I know what that is. I can cure that really fast. You want it the easy way or the hard way? The hard way is faster. The other way is to give me the hard way. And we did it. And I always thought about how expert he was. He just knew. And I heard Prabhupada the other day in one of his talks was saying, you always have to go to the expert and they can fix whatever problem you have. And then he gave the example when Prabhupada was traveling around with his entourage. They had different kinds of equipment that they would use for his translation, for his dictaphone, dictation, and so forth. Sometimes something would go wrong with it, the tape player. And then he named somebody. When something went wrong, they would call this man. Everyone else would have a hard time fixing it. He said this man would come up and Prabhupada make some noises like he was tinkering with it and then fixed. So you get the expert. Just find the expert, and then you can fix the problem. And the devotees are expert because they follow the parampara system and take the actual medicine that can cure what ails the heart, the dread disease of material desire that's there within the heart. The devotees know that that's the root cause of all problems in the material world. So they give hymns, and they give instructions. And with these two things, hymns and instructions, one can become cured from the affliction of material life. The Nagapatnis continued, we therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, our dear Lord, because you are the Supreme Person who are living as the Supersoul within every living entity. Although you are transcendental to the cause of manifestation, everything is resting in you. And you can live off that one sentence for the rest of your life. First of all, that there's a Supreme Person you can have a meditation like that for the rest of your life, thinking of the Supreme Person who has form, qualities, pastimes, and you can fix your mind on the beauty of Krishna and his different pastimes. And also that he's within our hearts can be experienced directly, because as Prabhupada explains in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, the intelligence the living entity has is the form direction of the supersoul. So you can experience that you're sitting in the same room, actually, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's there in the same chamber of the heart. And you can also experience that if you have a question or you're up against a conundrum in life, a dilemma, and you're questioning what to do, you can see how the person on the other side of the door can just pass a little note out through the door. Sometimes Super Soul just pass a little note out through the door and hand it to you and say, oh, okay, that's the solution. He gives intelligence. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, right? And he also says, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridaya sharduna tishnati brahmayam sarvabhutani yantra rudra vimaya. Then he goes with the living entity and is supplying him with intelligence everywhere he goes. And he also gives some sweet verses in the Bhagavad Gita about how if one turns to him, takes shelter of him, then he gives the intelligence by which one can come to him. So this relationship that every living entity has with Krishna is very sweet, and it's eternal, and it can never be broken. And one can simply turn one's face towards Krishna by hearing about him and following his instructions in the Bhagavad Gita. The Nagapatis continued, we therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, our dear Lord, because you are the Supreme Person, who are living as the Supersoul within every living entity. Although you are transcendental to the cause of manifestation, everything is resting in you. You are the personified, indefatigable, eternal time. The entire time force is existing in you. And you are therefore the seer and the embodiment of total time in the shape of past, present, and future, month, day, hour, moment, everything. In other words, O Lord, you can see perfectly all the activities happening in every moment, in every hour, in every day, in every month, in every year, past, present, and future. You are yourself the universal form, and yet you're different from the universe. You are simultaneously one with and different from the universe. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you. You are yourself, the whole universe, and yet you are the creator of the whole universe. You are the superintendent and maintainer of this whole universe, and you are its original cause. Although you are present within this universe by your three qualitative incarnations, Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara, you are transcendental to the material creation. Although you are the cause of the appearance of all kinds of living entities, their senses, their lives, their minds, their intelligence, you are to be realized by your internal energy. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, who are unlimited, finer than the finest, the center of all creation, and the knower of everything. Different varieties of philosophical speculators try to reach you. You are the ultimate goal of all philosophical efforts, and it is actually only you who are described by all philosophies and by different kinds of doctrines. Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto you, because you are the origin of all scripture and the source of knowledge. You are the root of all evidences, and you are the Supreme Person who can bestow upon us the supreme knowledge. You are the cause of all kinds of desires, and you are the cause of all kinds of satisfaction. You are the Vedas personified. Therefore, we offer you our respectful obeisances. Our dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. and you are also the supreme enjoyer. You have now appeared as the son of Vasudeva, a manifestation of the state of pure goodness. You are the predominating deities of mind and intelligence, Aniruddha and Pradyumna, and you are the lord of all Vaishnavas. By your expansion as the Chaturvyuha, namely Vasudeva, Sankarsana, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna, you are the cause of the development of mind and intelligence. By your activities only, the living entities become covered by forgetfulness or discover their real identity. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter. The Lord is sitting as the Supersoul in everyone's heart, and due to his presence, the living entity either forgets himself or revives his original identity. We can partially understand that you are within our hearts as the witness of all our activities, but it is very difficult to appreciate your presence, although every one of us can do so to some extent. You are the supreme controller of both the material and spiritual energies. Therefore, you are the supreme leader, although you are different from this cosmic manifestation. You are the witness and creator of the very ingredient of this cosmic manifestation. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Our dear Lord, in the matter of creating the cosmic manifestation, personally you have nothing to exert. By expanding your different kinds of energy, namely the mode of passion, the mode of goodness, and the mode of ignorance, you create, maintain, and annihilate this cosmic manifestation. As the controller of the eternal time force, you simply glance over the material energy, thereby creating this universe and energizing the different modes of material nature, which act differently in different creatures. No one can estimate, therefore, how your activities are going on within this world. Our dear Lord, although you have expanded into the three principal deities of this universe, namely Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Shiva, for creation, maintenance, and destruction, your appearance as Lord Vishnu is actually for the benediction of all living creatures. Therefore, for those who are actually peaceful and who are aspiring after the supreme peace, worship of your peaceful appearance as Lord Vishnu is recommended. Verse 9. Bejude muryo tagre bhagavantam adhoksitam sattvam shuram shemaya kalpante yenutaniha. Previously, all the great sages worshipped Lord Vishnu because he's beyond the modes of material nature, that therefore they attain the highest benefit. One who follows in the footsteps of such sages is eligible for the same result. O Lord, we are submitting our prayers unto you. You can appreciate that this poor serpent is going to give up his life. You know that for us women, our husband is our life and everything. Therefore, we are praying unto you that you kindly excuse Kaliya, our husband, because if this serpent dies, then we shall be in great difficulty. Looking upon us only, please excuse this great offender. Our dear Lord, every living creature is your offspring, and you maintain everyone. This serpent is also your offspring, and you can excuse him once, although he has offended you, undoubtedly, without knowing your supremacy. We are praying that he may be excused this time. Our dear Lord, we are offering our loving service unto you, because we are all eternal servitors of your Lordship. You can order us to do whatever you please. Every living being can be relieved from all kinds of despair if he agrees to abide by your orders. Every living being can be relieved from all kinds of despairs. How? He agrees to abide by your orders. There's a place where you sign up for that. It's a little desk. They have a chip and it has a couple boxes that say, I agree to abide by Krishna's orders, and you can just make your little X in the box and then sign your name at the bottom and hand it in. And then everything can be relieved of all kinds of despair just by agreeing to abide by his orders. After the Nagapatnis submitted their prayers, Lord Krishna released Kaliya from his punishment. Kaliya was already unconscious from being struck by the Lord. Upon regaining consciousness and being released from the punishment, Kaliya got back his life force and the working power of his senses. With folded hands, he humbly began to pray to the Supreme Lord Krishna. My dear Lord, I have been born in such a species that by nature I am angry and envious, being in the darkest region of the mode of ignorance. Your Lordship knows well that it is very difficult to give up one's natural instincts, although by such instincts the living creature transmigrates from one body to another. It is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that it is very difficult to get out of the clutches of material nature. But if anyone surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the modes of material nature can no longer act upon him. Verse. It's very difficult to overcome, impossible, but if one surrenders unto Krishna, he can easily cross beyond it. My dear Lord, Kaliya continued, you are the original creator of the modes of material nature by which the universe is created. You are the cause of the different kinds of mentality possessed by living creatures by which they have obtained different varieties of bodies. My dear Lord, I am born as a serpent. Therefore, by natural instinct, I am very angry. How is it then possible to give up my acquired nature without your mercy? It is very difficult to get out of the clutches of your Maya. By your Maya, we remain enslaved. My dear Lord, kindly excuse me for my inevitable material tendencies. I surrender unto you. Now you can punish me or save me as you desire. Similar to a Bhaktivinoda song. Manasa teho geho yo kichumo arvilum tua pare nanda kisho. In that song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying, My body, my mind, my very life, my very self, my wife, family, children, everything I give unto you, it all belongs to you anyway. Surrender everything. This island we're on now is called Antardweep. And this is, each of the nine islands represents one of the processes of devotional service. So Antardweep represents the Atmanivedanam, which is surrendering one's very self to Krishna. After hearing this, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was acting as a small human child, ordered the serpent thus, "You must immediately leave this place and go to the ocean. Leave without delay. You can take with you all your offspring, wives, and everything that you possess. Don't pollute the waters of the Jamuna. Let it be drunk by my cows and cowherd boys without hindrance." The Lord then declared that the order given to the Kaliya snake be recited and heard by everyone so that no one need fear Kaliya any longer. Anyone who hears the narration of the Kaliya serpent and his punishment will need fear no more the envious activities of snakes. The Lord also declared, if one takes a bath in the Kaliya lake where my cowherd boyfriends and I have bathed, or if one fasts for a day and offers oblations to the forefathers from the water of this lake, he will be relieved from all kinds of sinful reactions. The Lord also assured Kaliya, you came here out of fear of Garuda, who wanted to eat you in the beautiful land by the ocean. Now after seeing the marks where I have touched your head with my lotus feet, Garuda will not disturb you. The Lord was pleased with Kaliya and his wives. Immediately after hearing his order, the snake, with his wives, began to worship him with great offerings of nice garments, flowers, garlands, jewels, ornaments, sandal pulp, lotus flowers, and nice edible fruits. In this way, they pleased the master of Garuda, of whom they were very much afraid. Then, obeying the orders of Lord Krishna, all of them left the lake within the Jamuna. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 16th chapter of Kaliya, subduing Kaliya. Any highlights? Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj, for wonderful reading the Krishna book. I like one particular man when the Kaliya told that by instinct, like he's angry, I am angry and envious. And inspired by your mercy only, I can be go away. So similarly, we can also depend on Krishna's mercy and we do away with it ultimately. And as we know, Krishna's mercy comes and we can and we follow his instructions.
Thank you. Yes.
I just was wondering why, because Kaliya was rectified and he changed his mentality, and why he had to leave, why he had to go away.
I don't know if it's mentioned in the commentary, but we can look. One thing I was remembering from the story, unrelated to your question, but when the... Two things, actually. One was that Balaram wasn't there at first that day because it was his birthday. That's mentioned in the commentary. So he stayed back. And that's why Krishna got into trouble. He wasn't being watched over by his elder brother, Dauji. And the other thing was just that the residents of Vrindavan, they found their way to the place where Krishna was in the lake with Kaliya because they followed the footprints. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says that how can there be so many footprints? How could there be any footprints with so many millions and millions and trillions of cows and boys and residents and things like that? And it said that all of them are careful not to step on any of Krishna's footprints as they walk through Vrindavan. Therefore, all his footprints are preserved in the dust of Vrindavan. Any other highlights? Yes.
I was just wondering if you could comment on the... because each of the demons in Vrindavan is some kind of anartha in the heart. You mentioned about how the devotee is in Vaidya, the doctor. So I was just wondering if you could mention a little bit about what Kaliya is representing.
Do we have the chart there? Our chart? Is it available?
Yeah.
We're making a chart, actually, that just like BSH page by page. It just needed a little editing, but it'll show each one of the demons, and then it'll show the anartha that was removed. But the anartha that that demon represents. Also, I'll tell you more about what we're doing with that later. Did you find it? Okay. Putana, Shakata Asura, Nalakaveri Manigriva Vatsasura, Pakasura, Agasura, Brahma. There's Kaliya. Kaliya, chastising the Kaliya serpent represents brutality and treachery. We need to hear more about Kaliya in this day and age. There's a lot of brutality and treachery in the world. Yes, Shraddha? But one point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes, this comes from the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, is that each one of these demons is an archetype of kind of anartha, or unwanted thing within the heart. And that's by performing devotional service and hearing about Krishna and his killing the demons, then those Krishna will remove those anarthas. Shraddha.
I was observing that when Krishna was dancing on Kaliya's foot, there was a mention that poison was coming out from his mouth, but it really looked like flowers or a decoration of flowers. So just something that everything glues in the service of God actually becomes, in touch with God. And I also had a question that the denizens of heaven, they started, throwing flowers. Do they do that in Kali Yuga also? I have never heard of anything like that.
Well, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, there's mention of demigods who came when he appeared, that they were walking throughout the house. Sometimes Jagannath Mishra and Sachi thought, oh, who is that? What was that? There's actually demigods coming to see. And Prabhupada mentioned when he was in Albert Hall in London, they had put out a lot of flyers and advertisements for Prabhupada's speech at this big hall, and not many people came. And the devotees were very disappointed afterwards and said, "Oh, Prabhupada, nobody came." He said, "Oh, you didn't see? Narada, Brahma, Shiva, they were all there. You weren't aware?" But, anyway, yes. Varshan.
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking when Harinakashipu, he was such a demon and he was to be killed. Lord appeared as Narasimha Dev to finish him, to show that his strength is not sufficient in front of the Lord. And the same is with Kaliya. He was very proud of his strength, and Lord showed him that his strength is not good enough in front of him, and he had to surrender. So my realization is, unless one surrenders to the Almighty, one cannot go back to God.
Thank you. And since you brought up pride, it's mentioned in the story of Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill, how one of the main reasons he performed the pastime, well, the main reason was so he could be with all his devotees all at the same time. Because normally, the devotees spend time with him at certain segments of the day. But they all had a desire to be with him constantly. So Krishna arranged this pastime so all of the devotees could be with him underneath the hill. He was the cenozure, and he was simply holding the hill the whole time. And they were talking with him and interacting with him. Everyone was. Mother Yashoda was there, according to the Jiva Goswami's writings about this pastime, that she was saying, you know, you have to eat something, you're going to get weak. And Madhu Mangal was joking during the whole pastime and so forth. But it's also mentioned that Krishna knew that Indra had developed pride within his heart, and he wanted to relieve him of that burden. He loves his devotees so much, and therefore he arranged this whole pastime also for Indra to lose his pride. And how much his pride was smashed, because he became so angry when Krishna diverted the worship that he was supposed to receive, that Indra was supposed to receive. And not only that, he had all the cowherd men use all the paraphernalia for the worship of Indra to worship Govardhan Hill. And he was so angry, and he came to devastate Vrindavan. But actually, not even one drop of water touched anyone. Even the Govardhan Hill was not affected, because he was feeling the ecstasy from being touched by the lotus hand of Krishna, and he wasn't experiencing all the thunderbolts that were striking him on the back. And when the messengers of Indra came to see what kind of devastation was taking place with all these great rains and chunks of ice coming down, they came back and reported to Indra that no one's been affected at all, not even slightly, not even one drop has touched them. And he began to realize that he had overstepped his boundary. And he was relieved of his pride. And then afterwards, when he came down to apologize to Krishna, he found Krishna in a solitary place. And Krishna actually apologized to him, said, "Sorry that I dealt with you in this way." And Indra felt even more embarrassed then, because Krishna is so soft-hearted, the way he dealt with Indra. So Krishna's reciprocation is very personal. Yes, Janarani.
I like it that Krishna, when he does something, he's doing it with a smile. Like, you know, he's chastising Kaliya, so, you know, he's not just kind of, you know, destroying him, you know, kind of dismantling him, but he's, like, he's dancing on his hoods, because I was thinking, like, we have the boys who are dancing, and I know it's always a big issue for them to have the stage very, very straight, you know, very strong, very straight. But Krishna is like having a stage which is always moving. And it was such a challenge. 100 hoods in one is just dancing, and it is such a beautiful phenomenon. I said, to see the whole thing, and it was just like so artistic at the same time he's doing, you know, he's chastising him, and Kaliya's fighting for his life, and it's just amazing. Very, very interesting.
And the Acharyas say that the other reason that he was actually dancing, or the main reason, was he was showing off to the young gopis. Because he wanted them to see that what a great dancer he was, and this was leading up to the rasa dance. And so he was showing off, appreciating that. Yes.
Kaliya was so fortunate that he got the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. If you see, same as so many rishis who does austerities and meditation for so many years, and they don't get any, you know, even a glance about Supreme Personality of God. But Kaliya was just mere snake in this material world. And he was so fortunate to get
that. Yeah, nice point. That's brought up also in the story of Agasura, that he was such a demon that was feared by all the demigods, even. They wanted him killed. He was such a threat in the universe. And then they were praising him like anything, because Krishna actually walked in his mouth with his lotus feet. And they were saying that great sages, they may meditate for thousands of years, but they don't get that benediction. Nothing like that. Krishna walking in his mouth. And in that story, it says that if one brings the pastime of Krishna or the image of Krishna into one's mind, even once, and even by force, then one is assured of liberation. Krishna is so potent. You had a point? Please.
I had a small question in regard to statement you made about when one agrees to abide by Krishna's order, material miseries go away. I've heard that old saying that God is in the details, and devotees have told me that the details of your service, your activities are the most important in regard to Krishna. And I was just wondering, in the small details in our decision-making in life, how can we fully understand what pleases Krishna?
Well, one has to take guidance from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And you can see from the life of Srila Prabhupada that at one point he met his spiritual master, who told him immediately that you should teach Krishna consciousness in the West. He said, you're an educated young man, you should use your education and your excellent speech to be able to preach the Westerners. But how would Prabhupada do that? At first, he thought he would go into business and make a lot of money, and that didn't work out. Prabhupada said that Krishna dismantled all of his business plans. And he said, then I was forced to come penniless to America. And even Prabhupada said that once, after he had taken sannyas, which was also something that he mentioned several times, how his spiritual master came to him in dreams and was beckoning him to come out and preach, which meant take sannyas, renounce. And Prabhupada said that those dreams horrified him, that he was being called like that. Then he took sannyas, and right afterwards he was thrashed by a cow with long horns on the pathway, and he was knocked down. It's a very serious injury. and he didn't have anyone. And Prabhupada says in his talk, he said, I was thinking, what is this? So there are details, but you can see that as Prabhupada went through all the different phases of his life, even he describes how he was married, and then he talks about his family life, he talks about his business life, and then his vanaprastha life. He went to get some service for taking care of the magazine, the Harmonist, and the devotees who were in charge of it released him from the service because Prabhupada's vision was so big, it scared them. They thought, this isn't, we just have a little magazine, don't think so big. Prabhupada was thinking, it should be like Newsweek, it should be all over the world. But in each phase, Prabhupada took guidance, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and was self-searching to find his steps, each one of the steps that he took, and kept fixed on the order of his spiritual master, and then saw which way to go. Even he describes, before taking sannyas, how he went to Tirtha Maharaj. We were just at the mat there. This is after his spiritual master had departed. And so how would he know how to take sannyas? He couldn't go right to his spiritual master and say, now? So he went to one of his senior godbrothers, and at that time there was some politics going on in the Gaudiya Mat. And so that one month, you can maybe even imagine something like this happening. They said, well, first you have to stay with us and prove yourself that you're part of this. You're part of our thing and not the other faction. And then we'll talk about the sannyas. Then Prabhupada went to another godbrother, Bhakti Pragna Keshav Maharaj, who immediately encouraged him, said, yes, you should take sannyas right away. Your spiritual master is calling you. This is your life's mission and so forth. And spontaneously, he knew at that time, this is, it came together. There's a time and place when the instruction comes together and it matches what one's internal desire is based on the order of the spiritual master and the shastra and so forth. And one has to find one's way forward like that, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, in the details. There are some basic details, though, that are good for everyone, and how to follow the process of devotional service. Of course, even one may have struggle with those at some point in one's life, and therefore it's good to take guidance as well, how to rebalance one's practice and so forth, and keep moving through the different phases of one's life. Yes, two points, and then we'll go on to our next part of our program.
Just to digress to that last point with Arthasura, how the demigods were glorifying him for having Krishna in his mouth. When I was thinking how fortunate though are the souls of Kali Yuga, how not only does Krishna enter the mouth, but even dances with him.
That's the holy name. Nice. Very good. Nice. The other Arjuna.
Regarding the aspect of decision with spiritual master leaves you and all that, some say that you can delay in case you are not ready for that. So how valid is this argument that you can delay the order of the spiritual master?
Well, yes, you can delay but not ignore the order of the spiritual master, but it's a matter of as I was saying before, balance. There may be, there's, Victor Hugo said, nothing is so powerful as an idea whose time has come. And similarly, one may receive an order and then may live in the mode of preparation to carry out that order. That's more what delay means, is to be in the mode of preparation. Because it may not be available to you at the particular time. We go through different phases of life and we may find ourselves held back from fully executing the order at some point, but we should always be in the preparation mode. You can actually take shelter of the preparation mode, because when all else fails, you can be preparing yourself for doing more service. And great discoveries come only unto the prepared mind, Louis Pasteur said. It's very true. If you're always preparing yourself, then when the opportunity comes, you can take it. Again, you can look at Prabhupada's life and see. Someone might say, why did you delay? Even Prabhupada said, why did I delay so long? But then all the time, all the circumstances came together, and Prabhupada was particularly glorified because of keeping that in the center of his, as the center of his focus. And now we have 10 verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which we can recite together. And these are from the 6th canto, very important verses regarding the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I'll just turn my chair around. It's easier than finding it on my iPad. You all ready?
Yes.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kvachin Divartate Bhadrat Kvachit Charati Tapulaha Priyashchitam Ato Partam Manikun Jarashalchava. Sometimes one who is very alert so as not to commit sinful acts is victimized by sinful life again. I therefore consider this process of repeated sinning and atoning to be useless. It is like the bathing of an elephant, for an elephant cleanses itself by taking the full bath, but then throws dust over its head and body as soon as it returns to the land. Tapasa brahmacharyena shamena cha dhamena cha tagena satya shauchabhyam yamena niyamena va. To concentrate the mind, one must observe the life of celibacy and not fall down. One must undergo the austerity of voluntarily giving up sense enjoyment. One must then control the mind and senses, give charity, be truthful, clean, and non-violent. Follow the regular principles and regularly chant the holy name of the Lord. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agam dhulvanti karsnena niharam diva bhaskaraha. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Yamaduta uchu veda pranihito dharma yatarmasta viparyayaha vedo narayana saksha swayambhur iti shushruma. The Yamadutas reply, that which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes dharma, the religious principles, and the opposite of that is irreligion. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Narayan and are self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam navayavidu rishayo napi devaha nasiddha mukya asura madusha kutodu vidyadara charanagaya. Real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although fully situated in the mode of goodness, even the great rishis who occupy the topmost planets cannot ascertain the real religious principles, nor can the demigods or the leaders of Siddhaloka, to say nothing of the asuras, ordinary human beings, the vyadaras and charanas.
Swayambhurada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manubhu Pralado Janako Bhishma Vair Vaira Sakir Vayam. Lord Brahma, Bhagavan Narada, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Swayambhu Manu, Pralada Maharaj, Janaka Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami, and I myself know the real religious principle. Itha vandiva lokesmin pumsam dharma parasmitaha bhakti yoga bhagavati tandama karana divihi. Devotional service beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society. Tasmat sankirtanam vishnor jagam mangalamam hasam mahatam api kauravya vidyaikantika nishkritam. My dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious activity of the universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously.
Bhuktanam api siddhanam narayana parayanaha sudurlabha prashantatma kovishvabhi mahamune.
O priest, O great sage, among many millions who are liberated in perfect knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayana or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare.
Narayana parasarve nabhudasya nabhidyati swarga pavarga nabhikeshu abhitulyartadarshinaha.
Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord.
Owarimashitaka?
Hogya.
Finish?
Nadiya nagare nitai niche niche nare.
Maya Pura.
Where
we read about the places in the Ajna, and then for me the most exciting is to see that the glory is actually from the West. Yeah, just in the place where the whole thing was predicted. So it's really exciting to see the combination and to really bring the whole thing to life. It's very amazing to see the revelation, how the desire of his devotees is manifesting in us. And I really wish to be part of it, and I feel so much lacking in this ability to do what his devotees wanted me to do or be part of what it is. It's really, this is my prayer actually, to be able to manifest their desires and be part of it.
What other recourse do we have except to say, how can I do? How can I do? Malini? Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. It is so many reflections from the beginning. But the most important thing was that the gratitude that I felt being in the Dham, so much to be grateful for. And when we get to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Samadhi, and after going there, we went to yoga to the ground zero in the same. I was thinking how Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, if he hasn't found this place, yoga beat, and then instructed Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I wouldn't have been here, because without him, Srila Prabhupada wasn't being instructed. So I was doing so much of gratitude.
It's a nice vision to see what might have been if the Acharyas didn't come and light the path. It's Bhaktivinoda and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Prabhupada coming and showing everyone how to do it, even in the West. He was so sure about it. One thing Navina was telling me today is a devotee had given a lecture about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he had very specific ideas about how to spread Krishna consciousness around the world, and especially bring it to Westerners, including giving them Western facilities and things like that, which was unheard of before. And when people questioned about it, he said, you have to understand, I've been meditating on this for at least 100 lifetimes. And Navina was telling me that he read in a section about how Prabhupada was speaking about the Acharyas and how they actually stay in the material world and to preach Krishna consciousness, many of them, so that they're coming, in an empowered way to pass on Krishna consciousness. I especially like it when we go to a certain place. You can pass the microphone over here. We go to a certain place and we see some other pilgrims or even some local people start to get really attracted to the kirtan. This happened to us when we went to Advaitacharya's place and everyone surrounded it. And just the looks on their faces, how they're just drinking it in. And today I saw a family walk into the yoga pit. We were way at the back. And they were looking around, and all the doors are closed, so it's a little disappointing. Then they looked in, they heard the prayers of the six Goswamis, and I saw they just immediately gravitated. They came over and sat down. They wanted to be part of it. That's always just such a wonderful feeling when people come in and get attracted. They don't exactly know what it is or who you are, but they just want to be part of it.
Malini Mataji was talking about what if, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had not found the place. Even for me, I've been exposed to Gaudiya Vaishnava for 30 years. If the yatra organizers did not allow me to join them, I would not be here today. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Who had not had the yantra, what are the yantra? This was my third visit to the combination of three, and I enjoyed it the most this time. Somehow, you go there and the attraction increases. And you had mentioned, but the thought still is lingering in my head about the lady, the Sukhi lady that we met at Ranakum, and how she was all about her.
Yes, that was especially sweet when there's that simple exchange, just like, yes, take devotional service, just spontaneous way of cooperation and helping other just take.
She was a very simple lady, like in the morning lecture. Right? She's very simple. You know, she had one piece of cloth in her body. That's it.
Yeah.
And she's so happy doing what she was doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was special.
And I was also thinking that exalted devotees, they would themselves go to dangerous places because they knew it's difficult for us to go to the last step. And he was standing up there at the last step.
Oh, that's a nice metaphor. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah.
I thought it was very nice how focused the hearing and chanting was for the whole time you were out. Like, the second you left, you were having kirtan. And on the bus the whole time we're having kirtan. And then at the place we're having kirtan, then we stop to sing bhajans and hear about the place and hear me. And then immediately the next time it was kirtan, and it went on like that the whole time. Because usually on a trip, you know, you get on the bus, then you might just stop, talk about something random, you know, chit-chat. And then you get to the place and talk, but the whole time it was focused hearing and chanting.
Takes its toll, right?
Yeah.
Bro, today, when we go into the bus and, you know, chanting the Harinam, and the people outside, like in the road or in the field, if they hear the Harinam, we see their, you know, face is very smiling. So, that way I was realizing that, when we read, Holy Name is so sweet, I can experience that even in others' face today. And that was really a sweet part of it. And other, out of that, Srivasanam, that's the place I like the most. Because you where we sit there, you know, bring all the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, you know, main pastimes over there, and how the, you know, Sankirtan party invoked from there. And that, I could relate that, you know, whatever in Chaitanya Charitamrita is written, and within that place it's starting. So it's, you know, like kind of memorable in my heart, and, you know, I can relate to that, to visit.
I always wonder, you know, when we go back year after year and we say, I always think, will the magic happen again? At Sri Vasantam? Because I remember the first time we went there, everyone was looking at each other like, what just happened? You know, just the holy name exploded from that little place, and you could feel the special mercy from that. Sharanagata.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it that, you know, last year when we did the posters, I was using all these pictures and information, and today I'm here and I can't believe it. And I thought maybe I was knowing about it, and if I had been there alone, I would have not realized it, or whatever experience I had that was amazing because of your presence and devotees and kirtan. And you were talking about it, just like Prabhu said, that Sri Vasantan, and it was alive at that time. It's only because of you. Really thankful to you that is the power of that, your words and that Sankirtan and mood of all the devotees that made everything so wonderful, that made the world. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and these leave an impression. And really, our kind of practice of devotional service is to keep ourselves close to all these udipanas. They're the stimuli for the love that's already there within the heart. When we worship Tulsi, Tulsi stimulates that love in our heart. We go to the holy places at Shiva Sangam and we chant together. It leaves an impression. And as we were reading in chapter 8 today, Krishna talks about yam vapi svanam pavam. What is your pava? When you leave this body, really, all you're left with is a feeling. And it's an accumulation of all the association you've had in this lifetime. So we're deliberately, in sadhana bhakti, keeping ourselves close to all these stimuli that remind us of the spiritual world. And there's something inexplicable about them. When you go to Govardhan Hill, when you come to Mayapur Dham, Srivasangam, and all these places, we may not even realize how much it's having an effect on us. But it's like radiation. You don't see it, but it's actually going in very deep, you know. Yes. Super.
Yeah.
Subhadra? Go ahead, Bhakti Vatsal, and Subhadra can have the final word.
I was just really moved and surprised because I didn't know anyone when I came, and all the different devotees I met today, I just felt like everyone opened my heart so much because they're so special, these devotees here, and I'm just so grateful to meet you all. So thank you.
Hari Bol.
I was touched today. At the last place you visited, Shubhasanam, when we arrived, I don't know if anybody noticed, but the residents were just getting ready to sit down to take prasadam. And as we progressed to the point of kirtan, I was noticing, I was watching them, they were eating faster and faster. And they quickly came out and grabbed songbooks and started singing with us. And I was very touched by their attachment to the home name and to the Sadhu Sangha. That, you know, I was envious. I was thinking, you know, what does it take to achieve that? And to watch that today and watch everybody else in ecstasy dancing and singing was just amazing. Thank you.
Nice, Dr. Batsal. Yeah, just seeing the spontaneous attraction people have to the holy name. I noticed it, and maybe mentioned it earlier, as we were leaving the building here, and we walked by various people on the road, many of them would stop, and many would smile and just become ecstatic. And there's a way in which when you take the Harinam outside, the reflection comes back to you in the faces of the others that are out there, and revalidates it over and over again, that there's something here that's really descending, some special mercy.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. When we went to Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I just reminded of his father, Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Though he was a magistrate, he was in the material world. In spite of that, he could train his child to this extent that he became such a good acharya. Then Srila Prabhupada, just in 10-12 years of time, he did so much that today we can't even, you see, we can't live without his books. And I was just thinking that in spite of living in this material world, how did they manage to do this? Then immediately the thought came to my mind about you, that in spite of living in this material world, how are you managing to educate us, teach us, instruct us, guide us? It's wonderful. Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. I mentioned about the yatra, and I think Sharada said thank you for having the yatra, but actually I have nothing to do with it. Karthi Shraddha. From the very day after the yatra's finished, they start planning the next year, and it happens without my knowledge. It just comes together, so we thank them for their meditation on the yatra all the through that. Sounds like the finishing day. I would like to thank all the kirtaniyas. I get really proud to see how good the devotees are at kirtan, and then when the locals come by and they say, wow, these guys, these white boys can sing. And it's just an ecstatic. You know, it's like what you were saying, Gadarani, about how seeing the West meet the East, and it's the prophecy fulfilled and all coming together all at one place. The spiritual convergence is very satisfying. But your point about Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a good segue, because we have to finish for the day, and I think we're going to see tomorrow, we're going to our favorite spot. Each place is our new favorite spot. We're going to our new favorite spot. And I don't know if it'll happen, but I was standing next to Mahatma Prabhu, the inimitable Mahatma, and
you know, we were talking right before Guru Puja, and he said, you know, where are you all going? You know, and it's tomorrow. And I said, Bhaktivinoda. And he said, you know, can we come? And so you might remember last year, Mahaprabhu was there, and also Yadavarma was there. We enjoyed being together with all the different yantras. So maybe he'll come tomorrow. And Shraddha, you want to tell us? Tell us what we've won?
So that is one thing that we have won for tomorrow, visit to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's place. And the second thing that we are winning tomorrow is Guru Maharaj is going to take the Srimad Bhagavatam class. So that was for tomorrow. Sorry,
morning. In the temple.
This class? Yeah. Maharaj's class will be 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock sharp.
Oh, 7:59 you meant?
7:59. It's funny, there's been this haggling over the Bhagavatam class since the very beginning of the festival, because devotees at first were complaining about the translation, and then there was a lot of talk, no, this is good, it's bringing everyone together, and then some were complaining about, because at first they were saying at the end at 8:45 at the GBC meetings, I wrote a letter to the GBC and said, you know, how can we cut out Bhagavatam class, even by 15 minutes and stuff? So then all these letters were coming back to me, and it's a funny year that there's been all this talk about Bhagavatam class and the timing of it, negotiating for 5 minutes here and there, and it's been gradually creeping up, you know.
Today in the morning, we were also announcing how they were cutting things here and there, and they made up for 20 extra minutes. So if there are any questions that you have, you can ask now, or you can do the yes. We start a little later tomorrow because we're going to go to only one place, but that doesn't mean we have less fun. We have, you know, more actually over there. So we will start at 10:15 in sharp from downstairs. No questions?
All right, so then we'll talk today.